Come on, you guys can do better than that, right? Good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to start off a little bit different this morning. So if you can come on in and take your seats. I just wanted to sort of introduce the day and welcome you. Welcome to Westminster Bible Church. Welcome to Sunday. And the sun is shining today. Amen to that. Okay. Wanted to open this morning with a little bit of a word of prayer, just a little bit of a memorial. Most of you are familiar with what today is. Today is September 11th. It is the 10-year anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Centers in New York City. And all of our nation and much of the world is commemorating that event today. And I didn't want to let it go past without mentioning it and without giving it its proper respect and its proper due. You guys remember where you were 10 years ago today? Yeah, I remember where I was. And I remember Robin's grandmother saying that it was comparable to December 7th, 1941, which may be the only other date in our nation's history that really is comparable to what happened. It was the day the world changed, at least for us. It's the day that the streets of New York City resembled the streets of Tel Aviv. It was the day when other people's troubles became our troubles. And I remember specifically some of the lasting impact that I had from September 11th was that the temporary nature and the fragile nature of life was impressed upon me. I mean, Solomon says that life is a vapor, right? Thousands of people either went to work that day or got on airplanes, not knowing how short their time was going to be. And as we remember that day and as we remember them, we should keep in mind that none of us knows how short or how long our time is going to be. But we do know that God is sovereign. We know that God is in control. And for a while, we focused on that 10 years ago, didn't we? For a little bit. And then we kind of got back to our way of life. But we, as we remember and we reflect, we should recall and should understand that there are priorities that have eternal impact, aren't there? That as we get wrapped up in the things that we fill our days with, there is an eternity that has started and for us and is indeed waiting. And shouldn't we be filling our days with stuff that we need to do with an eye towards eternity, with an eye towards a God who is sovereign, knowing exactly how fragile and temporary and fleeting our lives actually are? I think that's the legacy of September 11th. At least as Christians, that's the legacy that we should take away, that there's a God in heaven and he is in control, that before him we're like a vapor, our lives are like this, poof. But there is an eternity that lasts forever, and may we focus upon that. I'd like to commemorate the day, those who died and those who sacrificed and those who suffer yet, by having just a moment of silence this morning. And I believe it should be a standing moment, so I'm going to ask everyone to stand up. And just observe one moment of silence for 10 years ago. Father in heaven, Lord God, as we commemorate and focus in on the events that happened in New York City and in Washington, D.C., and in the fields of Pennsylvania 10 years ago today, Lord Father, may it drive us to you. May we be reminded, Lord, of how fleeting our lives are, but how eternal you are. That you are on your throne, and though those events rocked our lives and changed our world, your plans and your purposes remain unchanged and continue on for all eternity. Father, we have such a great need for you. Father, may it drive us to you in dependence. Lord, Father, may it drive us to you in worship. For no matter what happens to us, no matter how short, how long, how good, how bad, there is still you. And Father, Lord, may that allow us to lift our hearts before you, despite our circumstances. May we say with Job that God gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And may we lift your name on high in gratitude for who you are, and in gratitude for that which you've done for us. And Father, may we focus our lives on serving you with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. We come before you and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have been forgiven of our sins and are saved. Amen. Amen. Please join us and enter into worshiping our awesome Lord this morning.
He heard my cry for mercy, and he took Bible tells us that we should sing a new song unto the Lord, and that's what we're going to do today. So as you feel comfortable joining us, please go ahead and do that. The song is called Holy is Our God.
Okay, go ahead and have a seat. Sorry about that. I forgot the family life was happening now. Hey, we got a few announcements. Welcome to Westminster Bible Church. First of all, if you're visiting with us, please fill out one of the new visitor greeting cards in your bulletin and drop it in the offering plate as it goes by today. We'd love to have a record of your visit and also a way that we can pray for you throughout this coming week. A few announcements to be made fairly quickly. Okay. Awana clubs are beginning tonight. Actually, they began yesterday if you came out to the carnival, but Awana begins in full swing this evening. The middle school phileo program is happening tonight as well. They're beginning, and they'll be downstairs in the phileo room starting at the same time as Awana. Ladies' Bible studies are getting together. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, so if you are a lady and interested in Bible study, there is one for you, so don't miss those. Small groups are starting. If you're in a small group, they're starting this week or they've already started. If you're not in a small group, what's a matter you? No, really, that's where we really focus on care and accountability here at Westminster Bible Church. If you're not in one and would like to be in one, come and talk to one of the elders or get in touch with our secretary, Lynn, if you are interested in starting one. And we have need for others because it seems like most of them are meeting on Thursday nights again this year. And I know that doesn't meet everybody's needs, does it? So we are looking for new small groups to start. And if you're interested in being part of that, please come forward and let us know. Also, Fall Fest. We have two booths on Longwell Avenue at Fall Fest. That's important that I say Longwell Avenue. We are not delegated to, what was it, Religious Row, I heard someone term it as, or, you know, the not-for-profit area that no one ever goes. You know, they avoid it like the plague. We're actually going to be out in the middle of things this year. We're going to be setting up some of the games we use for Saturday in the park, presenting the gospel to kids, and we're also going to have folks there who are going to be talking to their parents about the same things that the kids are hearing. So there's sign-up sheets in the back. We're going to need coverage for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. So please see the sign-up sheet and put your name on it. Also, discovery class. We're going to have a new members class beginning October 2nd, so if you're new to the church and you're interested in finding out some more about us or just seeing what we do and why we do what we do, the discovery class starts on October the 2nd, and there's a sign-up sheet for that also in the back table. The class occurs from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock roughly on Sunday mornings during the Sunday school hour. Also, Proverbs production. I have no idea what that's about, but Keith Ward's going to come forward and enlighten us.
Good morning. Good morning. Those of you who have been here for a while may know that a few years ago, I made a film, and that's not my real job, although it was at the time. It was a nonprofit production, although I wanted it to be a profit production. Ended up being a nonprofit. So anyway, ever since then, it has stayed in my mind that I want to do something in filmmaking and wanted to do something that will be for God's kingdom, not just sort of for my own gratification. So what I think I have been led by the Lord to do now is something new, and it's called Proverbial Films. And what that is I was thinking about a way to do filmmaking on a scale that I could get people involved in. It wouldn't take the gigantic amount of work that it takes to do a feature film where there can be months of pre-production and planning and all that. So what I'm doing is a series of short films. And the films are based on the book of Proverbs, the biblical book of Proverbs. And the idea behind it is, as you know, Proverbs isn't a traditional narrative. It's not one story that runs through it. It's a series of sayings, of principles, of guidelines. So what I'm doing is I'm taking a principle out of each chapter of Proverbs, and I am building a short drama out of it. So if it's pride in that particular chapter, I'm going to write a short mini drama, probably 5 to 10 minutes, about pride, sort of demonstrating the principle. And that way, a short film, 5 to 10 minutes, it simplifies logistics a great deal. You don't have to have actors for weeks at a time. And the writing is simpler. The production, the finding locations is much more simple. So I have developed a website, which is now live as of a couple of days ago, and it's called proverbialfilms.com. Pastor Carl and the elders have graciously allowed me to use our church here as sort of the home base. So and within about the next month or so, I'm going to have an initial meeting. Because what I want to do is have those who have an interest in filmmaking in this project. I'd love to have everyone who is interested, either in front of the camera as an actor or behind the scenes, to come on out and work with me on it. Those of you who are familiar with Sherwood Baptist Church down in Georgia, they did Fireproof and a new movie, I think, called Courageous coming out. Their church is involved in this. The people there work, you know, on the film set. So I would like that to happen in this church and also expand it to Carroll County churches. So I'm going to be spreading the word among other churches as well. For anyone who has any interest in this at all, there will be announcements on the website. I'll have some kind of a mailing list I'll be setting up. So go to the website, and I've got a cast list. If you're interested in acting, you don't need to be experienced. You really just need to be passionate about it, and I can sort of coach you up on the acting part of things. So I think it's a unique project. I haven't heard of anything like this before, and I hope, given the nature of what I'm doing, that it'll attract people. I mean, Christians know about Proverbs, but it's not going to be explicitly Christian, because Proverbs is really about how to live your life, about making good decisions, about developing wisdom. It's a wisdom book. So what I'm trying to show through that is how you gain wisdom and maybe the consequences if you don't develop that wisdom as shown in Proverbs. So would love to have any or all of you come out to the initial meeting. It's not going to be a huge time commitment. Again, that's the idea behind the short films. You're not going to have to commit for a month. My shoots will be 1 or 2 days. I've got the equipment. You know, I've been a journalist for 20-plus years, so hopefully I have the writing skills to do that. And it's something I'm really excited about. I believe that God has led it, and I would appreciate your prayers for it, too. That is would be great, greatly appreciated. If you feel like you don't have any skill, but you just want to learn about it, you feel like you can contribute meals when we're shooting, you feel like you can help set up and break down sets and lights and things like that, if you're interested and you want to be involved, I want you here. So check the website, proverbialfilms.com. I should have gotten you to put up on there. But send me an email. My email's all over it. There's going to be that blog on it. There's a little introductory video I made. I'll be putting other videos up. All the films are eventually going to be on the website. Hope to enter them in some film competitions eventually. We'll see where the Lord takes that. But I'm really excited about it, and I hope that the church is going to support me and that I will see some of you on set. Thanks.
Okay, so you want to be in movies. You know who the man to see is. Hey, today is a kind of a special day, and not just because it's 9/11, but because it's the start of the ministry year, essentially. We have so many ministries that are beginning either this weekend or around this weekend. And I just want to take a moment before we enter back into worship to pray for the ministries that are beginning, especially the kids' ministries. But I want to recognize some people also. First of all, if you work in high school phileo, would you please stand up? Okay, folks, there's your high school phileo team. If you work in middle school phileo, please stand up. There is your middle school phileo team. And some of you are looking around, where are the rest? Okay. All right. Understand that. If you work in Vine Life, please stand up. Praise God. If you work in Awana, please stand up. Amen. Amen. Significant number of our body are involved in those ministries, but each and every one of them could use additional resources, hands, feet, minds, hearts. So I'm just throwing that out there so that you guys can consider that. But also, I want to pray for these groups that are starting. It's a new ministry season. It's a big time, and we should pray for them. And we're going to in just a minute, but there's one more person I want to recognize, and that's because this is the last day he's going to be here with us, and he's going off someplace where he really needs prayer. So, Josh, would you stand up? Josh Holtzberg, you're heading this week to Fort Benning, Georgia?
Yes, I am.
And what are you going to do there?
Well, I'm going to go through 9 weeks through basic. And then after that, fortunately, my AIT, where I'm going to learn my job as a CAV scout. Here, I'll stand up here. I'm not afraid of people. Yeah, thanks. Anyways, I'm going to be down there 9 weeks, as I said, for basic. where I'm going to learn also my job 8 weeks after that. I'm a 19 Delta, a cavalry scout, which means I'm basically the commander's eyes and ears on the battlefield. First in, last out, but I'm not going to be the one kicking down the doors. I'm going to be in more like Stripers and Bradleys, which is kind of comforting. But at least I know I'm not going to be the one shot at. Basically, my main weapon is the radio, so that's a beautiful thing about it. But it's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. A lot of definitely worldly influence down there. I mean, like, the drill sergeants are not going to come up and yell at me like, "You read the Bible every day, son!" No, they're not going to do that. So I'm going to have to be prepared for that.
Josh, let me ask, would that have worked when you were here in Philadelphia? Okay, if I'd have done that.
I think I might have been just a little bit terrified, but it's going to be challenging.
Yeah, amen. It is going to be challenging. Hey, I'd like to open up the prayer to the body. I'm going to ask Rich Riddle if he'll begin prayer for the ministries that are beginning today. And that's exciting. This is an exciting time in the life of the church. It's an exciting time in the life of Josh. It's an exciting time for us. I'm going to ask Rich if you'll begin to pray for Josh, for the ministries. Then everyone, pray as you feel led. And after it seems like the Spirit is closing the season, then I will close.
Holy God, we do come before you and we worship you, for you are the God who has created all things, and you are sovereign. You have sovereign watch care over all of us, Lord God. Lord, so many of our youth ministries and children ministries are starting up today and or have started, Lord. We want to just bring all those young people before you, Lord God. And we, Lord, our prayer is that none would be lost, that you would pour your Spirit into each one, and that they would go out into the world in knowing what they believe, knowing who they believe in, knowing why they believe, and having a deep relationship with you. So we ask for that, Lord God, for as the end result of all these ministries we're just pouring in to children and young people and young adults. We pray for Josh as he goes off into the military, Lord, and we pray that he would be taking with him a strong faith, that when his belief in you is challenged, he would know why he believes what he believes. He would know what he believes and be able to stand firm on that, Lord God. And again, we pray that for all of the young people that the ministries are starting up at this point in time.
Father God, you are a good God. You are compassionate and merciful God. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you would prepare these workers, Lord, for the fields that are before you, Lord, that they would work in the power of your Spirit, your God, pour out your Spirit on them, and they might reflect you in such a way, Father, that those hearing would be attracted to your word. Thank you, God, for your Son and his death, burial, and resurrection, Lord, that we might have life and life more abundantly, Father, that we might see these souls come to salvation. I pray, dear Father, for our brother Josh, Lord, that you would protect him and guide him, Lord, that you might not take his eyes off of him, Father. I pray, Father, for the attendees of these different ministries, Lord, that they would hear your word and your spot. Thank you, Father, for your goodness.
Oh, Father, this is just such an awesome privilege that we have before us. We have a chance to further the kingdom. We have a chance to build into our children. We have a chance for them to become missionaries to the next generation. They are our future. They do have a future, and that future lies with you. And so we pray for them, Lord Jesus. And I pray for all the children of the church, from the two little ones, the Walters new arrival and the Siebold's new arrival. We pray for those little ones, Lord, that they will come to know you. And I know that they have prayed for, even though they are not yet born. I pray for those in the nursery. I pray for the children in Vine Life and in the Iwana. Oh, Lord, we have these precious moments. It's a time when they are here. And, Lord, we so desire to build into their lives. I pray for the junior high, especially. especially pray for the leaders of the junior high. That is, my memory recalls, is a very interesting age and challenging age to go through. I pray for our high schoolers, Lord, that they are faced with things. The world is just right there, right in your face. May you give them the ability to call upon you during difficulties, to walk in your ways and to walk steadfastly towards you. I pray for the agape who meets the young adults, Lord Jesus, and oh, how precious that is, Lord. And I pray that they would grow even stronger and stronger in their faith as it becomes real in their lives, and that they too would come to know you in a more depth and personal nature. I pray for the teachers who are going to be teaching our children, Lord Jesus. Oh, give us your passion, Lord. Give us your passion to be able to share who you are with these little ones. So much out there, and yet we have the truth. It is an awesome privilege, Lord, and we thank you that we have this privilege.
Father, it's not every day that we pray for a soldier who we actually know. We support Josh. God, we pray that you go with him as he goes off to basic training. I pray that you would lead him on the path you would have him take. I pray, God, that as you protect him with physical armor, that you would protect him with supernatural armor as well, that breastplate of faith and that helmet of salvation, that sword of the Spirit, and that indeed his feet could be shod with the gospel, that he might have opportunities to be your ambassador in the army to his comrades. I pray that you would move mightily through him as he goes. And when he feels lonely and isolated, I pray that he'll remember his friends, his family, and this church, Lord, that we are praying for him and his support. And God, I pray for the ministries of this church. They aren't ours. They're yours. And I pray that, God, you would do mighty things through the leaders of these ministries. I pray that receptive hearts would be found in the children that attend, that you would do great things as the next generation is raised up, that it would be a mighty event. We praise you in advance for all these great things. In Jesus' name.
Dear great God, we thank you for Josh and his willingness to serve, and we thank you for his reminder, too, that everyone that is out serving in the military is a family member. A brother or a son or a father or a daughter. I just pray for all of those that are in harm's way and for their families that are often left back home, and especially on today's anniversary. Lord, we also thank you for the opportunity to serve, that you saved us, but then you've also left us here with a purpose. You've left us here with a job to reach this lost and dying world. We thank you for those that have a heart and a passion to reach the young people, to reach the kids and the youth of our communities. And I just pray for each of the ministries that are reaching out to those different age groups. And I just pray that you would strengthen and encourage all those workers, and that you would bring more workers into this, that through our efforts we would be reaching out further into this community and reaching new people, those that haven't heard the message of the gospel. We pray for the many events that are coming up this year. And most especially, Lord, I pray for the families. We know that in the end, the couple hours that the kids spend in Vine Life or Wana or Phileo aren't going to make the big difference. It's going to be the time at home. Mom and Dad focusing on the Christian upbringing. I just pray that everyone that goes through this journey grows to be a godly young man. And I just pray that you would strengthen all of us and keep us focused on that purpose.
Father, Lord, we do pray. Now, Lord, we ask that for all of those who are working in the various children's ministries in Phileo, in Vine Life, in Awana, Lord, and small groups are also starting, so we pray also for small group leaders and those attending. Lord, Father, we pray for the teachers and the leaders, Lord, that you would give them strength beyond their strength and wisdom beyond their wisdom. Lord, creativity beyond their creativity, and Lord, love beyond their normal capacity. Lord, Father, for those that they'll be teaching and building into. Father, Lord, may the message be received by hearts that are willing to hear and to receive and to put into action, Lord, your word, Lord, that we might be doers of your word and not merely hearers. Father, Lord, for our ministries, we pray that you would have your way with them. Lord, that you would build both the teacher and the student. And Lord, that you would conform them a little more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, we pray the same for our brother Josh as he goes out from us. Lord, that you would have your way with him and in him and through him. Father, Lord, may you keep him close and may he desire to be close. And Lord, even if he doesn't have a drill sergeant yelling at him to read his Bible every day, Father, I pray that he does. Lord God, and that he is dependent upon you. And though he'll be learning some new skills, some life skills, some combat skills, Lord Father, may those skills not be sufficient for him. But Lord, may you be sufficient. May your grace be sufficient. And Father, may he rely on it and depend upon it day by day as boot camp and his life in the military go forward. And Father, Lord, may that prayer be the same prayer for us. Lord Father, may your grace be sufficient for us and may we depend upon you, Lord, with everything that we have and for everything that we have. Father, Lord, you are awesome. You are incredible. Lord, you are majestic. Lord, you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, and you spoke, God, and everything that became, became. And Lord, you spoke. You didn't even have to lift a finger. Father, Lord, what incredible and awesome power that you have. So Lord, we lift these people, these ministries before you and ask you to do with them as you will. And we lift our own lives, our hearts and our souls before you and ask that you do with us as you will. And Lord, we come before you this morning again in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you go sit down. No, stand up and worship. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord.
Thank you.
come before you, we just say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we just thank you that we have the opportunity, Lord, as your children, to come boldly into your throne room. And we come not in our own righteousness, Lord, not because there's anything to recommend us other than the righteousness of Christ. Lord, it's not that we ever sought you, you sought us. So we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you that we have the privilege to come now into your throne room. We have worshipped, and now we lift up, and we have prayed, and now we lift up prayers again to you, Lord God. Lord, we do want to remember what happened 10 years ago on this day, on a Tuesday. And Lord, a great shock to our country, a great shock to many families. Many are mourning this morning as they remember the loved ones that died and the many heroic efforts of the firemen and the police. Lord, so we want to remember that, and we want to lift them, these families up, Lord, that you would comfort them, that you would let them know that you are yet on your throne, that you are sovereign, and that you have your purposes in mind for all things. Lord, we take the lesson for ourselves, Lord, that life, as Carl's already shared, life is fleeting. We pray that we might be focused on living our lives for you the way you would have us live them, doing the things you've called us to do, living not as a part of this world, but in this world as your ambassadors, Lord God. May we live as if the next moment might be our last, rather than saying it's a long ways off. But may we live that way. And as you would have us live, as we prepare for your return, could be tomorrow, it may be many decades yet off. Does it matter? It's how we want to live, Lord God, in a way that glorifies you, that we would live as your church. Lord, we pray that you would be building your church, that you would be building into this fellowship right here, right now. And Lord, we prayed for the children, Lord, and James lifted up the parents, and I just want to lift up the parents for it. Lord, it is true that we only have a short time that we can be putting into our children here within the church community, Lord, but parents, they have a longer time. And so I pray for the parents, Lord. I pray that they would filled with your word, filled with your spirit, that they would be intentional about teaching their children. And again, Lord, I pray again. I've just been so impacted by the horrible statistics of so many young people fall away from the faith when they get out into the world, Lord. And I pray that none that are represented by the families here would fall away, but that they would know what they believe and they would know why they believe. But Lord, it's much more than that, that they would know you, the living God. So we lift all that up before you, Lord God. And Lord, we also recognize that there were many that died 10 years ago that did not know you. For them, the time had ended to know you. And so that brings us to Fall Fest, Lord, and we desire to reach out to the community around us, that we would have opportunity to share the amazing truth that God, who created all things, died for us and paid the penalty for our sins, Lord God. We desire to be able to do that, and we pray that you would lead many to the booths that you have given us, that they'd be attracted to the games, but Lord, that they'd be more than that, that they'd be attracted to you and the truth that we have to share, and that there would be hearts that would be turned to you during this time at Fall Fest. We have a chance to serve you and minister the truth out into the community. Lord, for we're like you, we do not desire that any would perish. But we know that there are many hearts that are hardened. But Lord, we want to be reaching out. We want to be showing ourselves to be a community of believers that believe in you, care about you, that care about one another. I'm reminded of that truth that they will know that we are your disciples by our love for one another. May you build that into us, that we might show an alternative life, a way of living that is not the way of the world, but the way of you and your kingdom, that we'd be showing forth the heart of God. Lord, now we bring these tithes and offerings before you,
And Lord, we recognize as always that everything we have you've given us. So we're just returning a little bit of what you've given us. But Lord, you have our lives, for our lives belong to you as well. So we, even though we have these tithes and offerings, we give forth to you, it is our lives that really belong to you. May you use us according to your purposes, according to your good pleasure, that we might be seen to be your people, glorifying you in everything that we think, say, and do, to the glory of God, through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And the children are dismissed.
Thank you, Melody. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Have you ever had one of those weeks where things just didn't work out like you'd planned? Sometimes it feels like you're having a life like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've had one of those weeks and kind of one of those mornings. I have a sermon that I planned to preach this morning that I found out late this week after the outline was produced was actually going to be two sermons. And now as I'm looking at the clock, I'm thinking, well, it might actually be a little bit more than that. I've got about 20 minutes here, so what we're going to do is go as far as we can, and then we'll stop and we'll pick it up next week. because it's an important passage and an important topic. And let me give you some background as far as what we're doing and what we're talking about. We're going to be outside of our study in Mark for just a couple of weeks now because, well, the elders and I were praying, and I hope you find comfort in the fact that your elders pray, but we were praying earlier in the summer, earlier in the winter, we've been praying for a while, that we need a little bit of help in ministry. We need some additional elders. We need some additional deacons. We need some additional ministry leaders. We need some additional workers. We need some additional people. Maybe we just need some additional. Maybe we can just leave it at that. Anyway, particularly we were talking about the calling of new elders, and we've made a decision that we need to call some new elders and we need to call some new deacons. Problem is, where are we going to get these guys? Where are we going to get these folks? And that's not anything negative about anybody sitting out here, but we all know you guys got busy lives. We all know what's on folks' plates. But I can tell you this. Our elders need a little help. And they're both looking at me like, now, what is he going to say? I don't know if you've noticed, but our elders are getting a little, how should I say it, long in the tooth? Long in the tooth they're getting, okay. These guys just don't have the energy and the giddy up and go that they used to have. Inky's laughing. That's got to be true. You know, the giddy up and go has gotten up and went, right? That just brings me to the point that I need to make, that it is so important for any church body to be developing leaders. It is so important for any church body to be developing disciples. You know, the elders are going to need to be, I mean, these guys, I'm thinking, I'm 45, and I know my giddy up and go isn't what it used to be. Now, these guys, I won't give you their ages, though I know them and could certainly embarrass them, but I take great glee in saying they're older than I am. You know, I am not quite, not even quite where they are, but I know how I feel, and I know how life is for them, and I know the responsibilities and things that are on their plates. And so we need to be working through the next generation of leaders. So there's a bit of a challenge out here for all you guys that I would say are, say, maybe age 30, 31, 32, on up to, you know, about where I am, which is, you know, 25. You know, about where I am, 45 to 50. We need to be stepping up and taking some more responsibility going forward for the leading of this body and for the shepherding of this flock. And where do you call elders from? I mean, to be an elder is an incredibly heavy charge. Wouldn't you guys say so? Yeah, I see some heads nodding. That's an incredibly heavy charge. And you need to be certain that you're calling God's men for those positions. You got to have the right guys. Everyone agreed on the right guys? Yes. You got to have the right guys, or you can be in for some trouble. And where do you call them? How can you determine if a man is ready to be an elder? Well, you have to observe them. You have to observe them in life and in ministry. And at Westminster Bible Church, I mean, I'm thinking, and I'm kind of giving away the end of this sermon series, so I'm going to give it away and then pretend like I didn't, and I'll build the case and get there. Where do you get those guys from? Well, you have to observe them in life and in ministry, and the three places that I can think of are their family lives. You want to look at small group leaders, which, by the way, are the elders. That's one potential pool for pulling a new elder, and it's already occupied by elders. That's not a healthy situation. I'm just going to say that. And these guys know that. It's not healthy. And three, hey, how about from deacons? Because they're servants of the church also, aren't they? And I'm not saying that deaconhood is a step up to elderhood. There can be some differences there, and I think there are some. Not all deacons are meant to be elders. Not all elders are going to be deacons. But if you look at the qualifications for elders and deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you'll see that they are remarkably remarkably similar. The character traits are very, very close. That tells me that you're looking for the same kind of men. So that should be the place where we're pulling the next generation of elders in the church. So we're going to talk, we're going to have an eye towards calling new elders by actually going through the process of calling some new deacons. And that's what we're about. We're about to go through a deacon search. You guys are going to be part of that. It's going to take a couple of sermons to build that whole case. So just hold on if you don't get everything right now. We're talking about deacons. Actually, we are seeking deacons. Okay, I tried to be a little more imaginative this week. Okay, well, isn't all boring? Seeking deacons, that's where we are. Wow, and we're almost at the end of the sermon, too, and I just got started. Well, I think we can get through point one this week. Point number one, in your outlines, let's look at the word deacon. The word deacon, or diakonos, everyone say that word, diakonos. Do it again, diakonos. Good. Now you guys can be the hit of the party. Diakonos, it equals servant. It means to be a servant. And as Christians, all of us are called to servanthood, are we not? All of us are called to servanthood. A couple of verses to back that up from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 43 through 45. Right after the disciples were arguing amongst themselves about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom, Jesus said, hey, don't, in God's kingdom, leaders don't lord it over like these folks do. But this is not the way among you. For whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your diakonos. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come to be, it's a form of diakonos, but to diakonos, a verbal form of diakonos, and to give his life a ransom for many. And the church itself is to be equipped, from Ephesians chapter 4. For the equipping of the saints is for the work of diakonos, service to the building up of the body of Christ. So the first thing we want to get is that the word deacon, diakonos, means servant. It actually appears over 100 times in Scripture, and it's translated sometimes a little differently, but with the same typical meaning. It's translated to minister, to administer, serve, servant, to care for, to support. And only in a couple of instances does it actually refer to a church office. We're going to be looking at those church office instances. But one of them is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, where Paul is writing to the Philippians with Timothy. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers who are elders and deacons. So it's fairly clear there that in Philippians chapter 1, we are actually talking about the office of a deacon. We're going to look next week at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. But I would just encourage everyone this week to read the first 13 verses of 1 Timothy chapter 3. As a matter of fact, let's read it now, but then read it again this week in your quiet times. And just open up your Bibles, if you will, and we'll read that passage. I'll say a few words, and then we have a thing that we need to do before we close. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, elder, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious. I like that word, pugnacious. You don't get to use pugnacious often enough. Or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? and not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and a great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I think very quickly, one thing that you notice from just the reading of those qualifications is that point number two, character counts. These are mostly character qualities. What you don't see a lot of here, or even an emphasis on, is giftedness, or talents, or natural charisma, all the things that we would look for if we were choosing a leader for ourselves. And that's because we're not choosing leaders for ourselves. God is choosing them. And he is more interested in who a person is than he is interested in what they are right now. He is more interested in what's going on in their heart. Remember, God chose David, a shepherd boy, ruddy in appearance, who didn't look like anything to anybody except a herder of sheep, to be king of Israel, over the other guy who was Saul of the tribe of Benjamin, who stood head and shoulders above the rest of the Israelites and was handsome in appearance. But he was rotten to the core. David didn't look so much, but on the inside he had what counts. Those are the men we want to call into leadership. We want David's, not Saul's. Character counts, character is important, and we will talk so much more about that next week. Right now, we have about 10 minutes left in the service, and we have one more thing that we need to do, because it's a big ministry kickoff day, and we are starting a new members class at the end of this month, actually the beginning of October. Something that we've neglected all summer long, and that is that we had a new members class that ended not that long ago, or actually ended before the summer started, and we have some individuals who are joining the church, actually have joined the church. We let them join, but we are now presenting them to you as members of Westminster Bible Church. So I'm going to ask those three individuals to please step forward. And as part of the ceremony of joining Westminster Bible Church, we're going to ask you to, you know, do a little number for us right now. A little song and dance. See, that's what I like to see, enthusiasm. Actually, you know these folks. They have been with us in some cases for years. Josh has been around working with the youth. He's come out of the Phileo ministry. Michelle has been working with the Awana program, but now she's going to be leading in Awana. Alicia, you guys have all met. We sent her to Bolivia this summer. And what we're going to do is go through our little ceremony that it's been a tradition here for years, where we go through this passage in Romans chapter 12. There's a place, I'll do most of the reading, and there's a place where we're going to respond either by the grace of God or by the mercy of God. You'll see it highlighted in yellow. Please, in unison, when that happens, and you guys can read it on the back. When you see that, please respond. So, as a member of Westminster Bible Church, in the areas of personal and corporate worship, it is our desire to present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices, acceptable to God, not conforming to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. by the mercy of God. In the areas of service as members of the body of Christ, in the areas of diakonos as members of the body of Christ, it is our desire not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, being of the same mind toward one another and not haughty, associating with the lowly, not being wise in our own estimation, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. By the grace of God. In the areas of care for one another, it is our desire to be unhypocritical in our love, to abhor what is evil and to cling to what is good, to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honoring one another, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, being devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality, living in unity, having the same mind toward one another, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep by the mercy of God. In relation to the world around us, as Christians, it is our desire to never pay back evil for evil to anyone, to respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on us, to be at peace with all men, to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, to recognize that our personal and corporate involvement in the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ is our most effective means of overcoming evil with, good, in that God's wrath against the sinfulness of man has been satisfied by Jesus Christ's substitutionary death on the cross. By the mercy of God. Welcome to the new members. Now, and you'll get the secret password and the decoder ring soon. I'm going to close in prayer. After I'm done closing in prayer, I'd like the body to come up and greet them and welcome them to Westminster Bible Church. I know you know them, but welcome them anyway. And also a reminder, when that is finished, there is a baptism that's occurring. But it's not happening here. You know, in the New Testament, when they baptized someone, they went down to the river, to the lake, or to the pond, wherever, and in a public place baptized someone. But we have some folks, Dana Holwick and her children, Ethan and Aubrey Gordon, who want to be baptized in a public place. There's a creek in Patapsco that we're going to. Please join us, follow us. There's some directions on the back table to how to get there, and be witnesses to them taking that next step, that first step of obedience in Christ, by being baptized. I think that's all my announcements. Let's close today in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord God, we come before you and we are eternally grateful, Lord, for that which you've done for us. Lord, that you loved us so much so that you sent your son Jesus Christ to the cross to die for our sins, that we might have his righteousness when we stand before you, that we might be forgiven, that we would have even access to pray to you now. Father, Lord, what an incredible privilege. And it's an incredible privilege to be part of one body, the body of Christ. And Father, Lord, we are just excited to welcome Michelle and Alicia and Josh to a membership in the body of Westminster Bible Church as well. Father, they have been yours for a while, Lord Father, but they've chosen to identify with us also. And Lord, may you use them mightily among us. But may we care for them. May we hold them accountable. And may they hold us accountable and care for us. Father, may we work together to serve others and to serve you and to preach the gospel, proclaiming Christ, that good news that he died for us to all who we meet. Father, Lord, we just pray that you would nurture, Lord, and bless our body. We pray that you would, Lord, that you would just increase our effectiveness, that you would increase our hearts and our love for you. And Lord, we're thankful for the baptisms that are about to happen, for folks who are following you in obedience. And we're thankful, Lord, for the time that we've had this morning, though admittedly the time in your word has been well too short. Father, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that hearts have been edified anyway, that you have been glorified in our worship and in what's happening here in Westminster Bible Church. And Father, we pray that we would follow you hard, that we would be hard following you, Lord, that we would be charging after you with all that we have, Lord, seeking only what you would have for us, and Lord, seeking to honor and glorify you. Lord, we thank you again for the day. We thank you for these folks. We thank you for the folks who are working in Vine Life, Awana, and Phileo. We thank you for the small groups that are starting. We thank you, Lord, that you are God, Lord, and that you are on your throne. And no matter what happens, you are not greatly moved. And we can count on that. Father, we love you, and we lift up our praises and our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet the new members. Have a wonderful week.